Ja.
Tada! This is Micha Kotwitz. A new special report, the second one, and this one is really mind-blowing. What is it about? The criminal Dutch government, I can now disclose, created the biggest and most violent Irish crime organization in history. Maybe this is even the biggest crime organization in the world. It is called the Kinahan Group, and it is 100% the level of Al Pacino, Luciano, mafia-style criminal cartel. So this is an enormous accusation against the Dutch government, but I will now elaborate and corroborate this accusation. What happened in the Netherlands between 1990 until deep into the 2000s? We had what was called the IRT affair. IRT is Interregional Research Team, and that were units of the police that were engaged in drugs trafficking and drug smuggling and money laundering. The Dutch government was completely and deeply involved in this drugs trade. Politicians, public prosecutors, the police, the army and the navy, every part of government was part of this criminal government cartel, and the level of criminality was never seen before in the world. There is no words available to describe the depth that the Dutch state sank into in this period, but it is, I think, still going on. There was many top people were murdered and blackmailed, and of course, and this was all this all came to light, and an official investigation was launched, high-profile investigation from the House of Representatives in the Netherlands, with many people. But then, of course, the leader of this investigation was murdered in 1997. He was called Maarten van Twa, just after discovering that the royals were involved in the whole criminal cartel operation, basically through their lawyer. Well, exactly in this period of time, the Kinahan Irish cartel grew big in the Netherlands. That was where they grew big. I can tell a little bit more about this Kinahan cartel, because just recently they made headlines worldwide, because it was disclosed that they were controlling the complete boxing industry. People like Mike Tyson and Conor McGregor were all working for them, and this was a big scandal what made the headlines worldwide. And it is, of course, just a repetition of what happened in the New York mob in the time of Luki Luciano and John Gotti, when they were also in those days heavily involved in the boxing industry. Of course, this is all a method of laundering drugs money. At the moment that you hear this audio, the Kinahans are hooked up in Dubai together with the Dutch Mokro Mafia, also with Taghi, who was arrested in Dubai. And this Mokro Mafia has also connections to the Dutch authorities. So this was exactly in the period that the IRT affair was playing out, that this Kinahan clan was growing in the Netherlands. And they are still, of course, very much in power, this Kinahan clan, I explained. So they have been in power all the time, from the beginning of the big drugs mafia cartels in the Netherlands, the Klaas Bruinsma area, end of the 90s. But whereas the Klaas Bruinsma mafia was brought down, this Kinahan mafia has stayed all time in power until this day. So can you imagine how powerful they are? Now I will prove the Dutch connection from this Kinahan clan. And I will do this because this is all made possible by a book that just came out last year by a very famous Irish crime journalist and researcher, Nicola Tallant. She is introduced in the book as the foremost authority majority on gangland crime in Ireland and holding a H diploma in criminology. A journalist for 25 years, she is 3 times winner of the prestigious Newsbrand Crime Journalist of the Year Awards and is a regular contributor to television and radio programs where she is called upon for her expertise about organized crime. She is host of the Crime World podcast and presents and produces TV documentaries. Nicola is the author of numerous books about crime, including the bestseller The Witness. She was an executive producer on the podcast The Witness, in his own words, which has topped the charts in Ireland, the UK and Australia. And this book is called Clash of the Clans. And what do we read in this book on page 20? Christy Kinahan Sr., he is the founder of the Irish Mafia, eventually got an introduction to connections in the Netherlands and to the drugs supermarket of Amsterdam. He was very serious about his fledgling business, and to better his chances of success, he set about learning Dutch. Then on page 24, we read Kinahan decided he didn't want to spend another stint in prison and moved to the Netherlands, where he finally began building his dream. On page 25, we read John Cunningham, he is another very high executive of the Irish crime organization, hooked up in Amsterdam with Kinahan. Cannabis and cocaine were being sourced in Amsterdam on page 27. Cunningham and his associates were manufacturing their own ecstasy by sourcing powder in Holland. That it's on page 27, but it gets much better, guys. Hang in out there, because what do we read in on page 42? Despite Cunningham's incarceration, Cannon was riding a wave of success from Amsterdam. They were starting to move vast amounts of ecstasy sourced in Holland, cannabis and coke, into the UK and Ireland. And then it gets very interesting on page 43. Among the associates of Kinahan was Mink Kok, a notorious Dutch drugs and arms dealer who had quit law school to join a kibbutz in Israel. There he had learned Hebrew and used it to enhance his ecstasy trades and connections in Lebanon's hash markets. Kinahan Sr. was impressed by Cox's manner and his business prowess in offering a one-stop shop for all the tools of gangland crime. Kinahan learned a lot from the more sophisticated European crooks and was skilled in replicating their money laundering ideas. Think the Netherlands, think ING Bank, think Dutch money laundering industry. Developing a slick network of Dutch businesses with which to wash his dirty money. Well, Mink Kok also was related to the Dutch government, I can add, and this was to the Gladio affair. Well, people know what this is, the Gladio affair. And also interesting was that the lawyer of Mink Kok was Adèle van der Plas, the same lawyer that is very much connected to the Dutch pedophile cases. I don't know exactly how to interpret this relation, but I should mention it anyway. The journalist Koen Voskuil knows much more about this Gladio collection from Minka, but it's of course completely crazy that he is connected to this Irish mafia gang. This Mink Kok was so toxic and so mysterious that even the famous Dutch crime reporter Peter R. de Vries dared not touch him. As people know, Peter R. de Vries also was murdered not so long ago by the Dutch government, and that it was done by the government is proven by the fact that there was no prosecution, no trial, and even no investigation into his murder. But we go on with the book of the Irish journalist there to prove the connections of the Irish biggest drug dealing cartel in the world and the Dutch government, basically, because it gets much better still. George the Penguin Mitchell, also a high executive of the Skinhand gang, had established himself in the Netherlands and moved his entire family out to Amsterdam to join him. That is what we read on page 45. Of course, they did all this because they were protected by the Dutch criminal drug smuggling government. But it gets even better on page 52. And there it says this: the pressure of the Irish authorities was such that within a month, a man called Doyle, who was also part of the Skinhand gang, was gone to Spain, and Thompson, Eddie Thompson, another high executive of the Skinhand gang, had fled to the Netherlands, where he hooked up with Gary Hutch, another. So everybody was in the Netherlands. The whole infrastructure of this Skinhand gang was in the Netherlands. The pair were to become Kinahan's logistics men. In Rotterdam, in October 2016, Thompson was arrested following a seizure of machine guns and 7 kilo coke. But he had luck on his side, and the Dutch magistrate threw the case out because he was in the lobby of a building at the time of the raid and could have been innocent. The judge even made the authorities compensate Thompson for the time spent in jail, delighting the criminal. So here we see that also the Dutch legal system was protecting this Irish Skinhand gang, which is of course no surprise because of this IRT situation, as I explained. The whole Dutch legal infrastructure was basically on the side of the criminal Dutch drug smuggling government. And then one page further, page 53, we read, as the drugs flooded home to Ireland, Gardaí, that is the Irish police, tried desperately to quell the tide, but with gangs operating with near impunity in Spain and the Netherlands, this was almost impossible. And then we have also, next page 58, proof that this Skinhand gang was also corrupting police in Belgium and Spain, but mostly in Belgium, because it said there the inquiry into Skinhand's money laundering in Belgium had also established an extraordinary web of corruption involving members of the Belgian police. Following his arrest in Antwerp, local newspapers reported the case as one of the country's worst police corruption scandals ever exposed. Well, of course, the corruption scandal of police corruption in the Netherlands was much worse. That is because of this whole IRT affair. So this is basically completely damning. And of course, I will play this out in my trial to show what the Dutch government is really about. But there's more. Of course, there's always more. People know that. Because the people behind this IRT affair, which was never really played out, nobody went to jail. It was all mopped under the carpet and or people were killed, like the leader of this investigation, Mr. Van Tra, in 1979, as I told you. The people behind this IRT scam were the same people that were behind the pedophile networks. And that is, of course, exactly in that period the infamous Rolodex investigation played out in 1997, the year that Maarten van Tra was murdered. And all the people from the prosecutor's office that were facilitating the drugs trade were also involved in abusing and raping children. And the key name in this regard, of course, is Joris Demming. Please Google him. He is also now already known in the Irish courts because my legal team put his name forward. So he is like the guy around which evolved all the drug smuggling activities of the Dutch government and the whole pedophile business. So this is just completely hysterical that I have to discover all this thanks to people that I talk to here. Of course, and what can I say more? This is just completely mind-boggling, of course. So now I can give an overview of the criminality of the Dutch government that is connected to my case, because that is, of course, the reason they want to silence me, that I discovered all this. Then we have, of course, number one, it is the corrupt judges. I already mentioned this in the Kinahan case. I proved this beyond any reasonable doubt in my case against George Westenberg. And the proof there, the irrefutable proof, consists of course of the Supreme Court ruling that says that Westenberg is a criminal and corrupt and should pay all the damages that he caused to me, which are now estimated between 1 and 1.6 million. Then we have the pedophilia in government, which is connected to the IRT. This is 100% proven beyond any doubt by the Chris Smith Helsinki Committee report, which is now also in possession of the Irish justice. And people know what I'm talking about. In this report, it's also about Deming. It is proven without doubt that the Dutch government is run by child traffickers and pedophiles and, of course, drugs traffickers. Then, of course, very much, we have the COVID crimes against the people, which is proven beyond any doubt by the recently disclosed Pfizer papers and much more, of course, what I just named one, which prove, of course, that the whole vaccination, which is so important in my case, is basically one big fraud. Again, very much supported by the criminal Dutch government and Mr. Hugo de Jonge, with all kinds of corruption and family connections, basically as a weapon against the people. These are all things that have never happened before in history. And then, of course, the latest is what I just told you, number four, the Dutch crime connection with the Kinneren gang and the Dutch drugs trafficking organization, all sustained and supported by the government. So this makes a complete damning picture, and I'm very happy, of course, that I can disclose all this to you exclusively here, all based on facts. There's no doubt about it that all this happens in the Netherlands, and of course there's much more that I even cannot tell you and that I even don't know. Can you imagine? This is maybe only 10, 20, 30% of everything that's going on. This is always the case in journalism. You always get to a certain level of disclosure. But, of course, I always say that I work to the best of my abilities, and this is the end of the special report, and I want to thank you very much. God bless everybody, and I hope... Oh yeah, there's one thing I forgot. I always, about the Skinhead clan, to say how powerful they are, because there's much more fact. It's also in the book. This is a list of the countries they all have invested in and have interest in. Next to Ireland, the Netherlands and Spain, they have business in Libya, China, Greece, Brazil, Panama, many Caribbean islands, the Cayman Islands, the USA, Switzerland, Liechtenstein and Latvia. This is disclosed in the on page 63 of the book of Nicola Talent. Okay, guys. God bless. Bye-bye.